Bouncing Death Kirk is a weekly Keyforge podcast focused on competitive play. The podcast is hosted by Kata Mode and Kodamarin. The show is here for listeners to gain a better understanding of how to evaluate decks, how to evaluate their own board position, and how to anticipate opponents' decisions. Without further ado, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Bouncing Death Kirk. I am Kata Mode. I'm here with Kodamarin.
How's it going?
And today we're going to crack a pack. So for those that don't know, the way crack a pack works is we're going to take a random deck, open it up, and evaluate it using only the Archon card, and furthermore, using only 2 minutes. The reason we chose 2 minutes is that's the same amount of time you get at a tournament match. After those 2 minutes are done, we're going to put the deck down and then go over different strategies that we might have for playing it and combating it. And then after we've done that, we're going to bring the deck back in and correct any mistakes you might have had on the first go through.
So, we're almost ready to go, but real quick, we have an AOA deck. So, for those of you who haven't seen these decks, the Archon card is no longer in the nice order of actions, artifacts, creatures, upgrades. They're sort of by rarity. So, really, it's kind of tricky to take a look at this deck at a glance and see how many creatures are in it. And you know what that means? Is just have to have a better idea of the card pool. If you're up against an AOA deck in the wild in a tournament, you have to know these cards. So, anyway, today we have a deck. We have 2 minutes on the clock.
Yep.
All right. We have the Shadow Who Lies About Wrongdoing, Logos Brobnar Shadows. And what do you see? Ooh, I see some wrist clocks.
Yeah, triple wrist locks and double life for a life. Don't see, unfortunately, Bren the Fanatic. That's who you'd love to see if you have double life for life. But, you know, Ronnies are good enough targets for that.
I see double Sutterkins, double Babel, triple Coward's End, double Researcher. There's a lot of wacky stuff in this deck.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see a deck that has a lot of duplicates, like, it kind of perks you up a little bit, right? Because you're thinking duplicates are the easiest way to either make your deck awful or incredible.
So yeah, triple Wrist Clocks, incredible. Triple Coward's End, too much.
Yeah. The triple Coward's End, if there's, I mean, the cards are rare, but, like, you know the guy that says discard a card and then deal 4 damage to a guy?
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
He's not in here.
Yeah.
I do see, so I want to look at this Logos package. 2 Sutterkins, 2 Researchers, a Jar Goggle, and a Hexpion. They're all 2s. Isn't the Researcher a 2?
Researcher's a 2.
Yeah, so they're all 2s, so you're really not going to get a ton of value off of this Sutterkin, but if you could ever get a world where you have them both on the board, you put the Researchers out and they start picking you up cards again. You have double libraries. Hey, look, you have a combo going, right?
Yeah, there's also a ton of archive here. Like, you got Knowledge is Power is 1, Sloppies 2, Jargles 3, Researchers 4, 5, and then Hexpion 6.
6, 7?
Yeah.
6.5. Dust Chronicles is 8.
Yeah, and then as for creatures, the Brobnar creature list looks a little bit light.
I count all the creatures
lists look kind of light.
Yeah, there's no big boys in this Brobnar list. But yeah, I guess I'm gonna put this deck down right now. I don't know what to think of this deck. The Logos package doesn't seem to be doing everything it really needs to be doing in this deck.
I mean, let me see here. So I'm trying to remember. So the Logos package has 2 researchers, 2
Sutterkins,
1 Jarargle, and 1 Hexpion.
So I see the Sutterkins, and I want to be drawing cards off of them because that's what they do. But maybe their job is just to kind of distract your opponent, but then from what? I've got 5 Brobnar creatures and 3 Coward's Ends. That's no good. I think there's a War Chest, which is a Flamethrower. None of this is really jiving together with me.
I see
there's 2 Throwing Stars. There's 2 or 3 Life for a Life. It's all this very haphazard removal.
Yeah, the Brobnar side in particular is kind of depressing because Brobnar, I think, is the best faction in AOA.
Mm.
And so I'm looking at that, and I just remember looking at him like, nothing's exciting except for, like, the Bramo and 1 of the Coward's End.
Yeah, the first Coward's End's great, but the second 2 are too many.
Yeah. All right, here's the deal, though. Okay. So the thing I've seen with AOA in particular is that it's very easy to build a Logos board just because you have enough bodies. Like in the first set, Logos like lineups would kind of cap out at like 4 or 5 a lot of times. So here, just having 6 is relevant. And you do have 2 Library of Babels. So that, like, with card draw is not great unless you have a lot of it. So there is worlds where, like, you can Sutterkin plus Library of Babel.
That's actually a real point. There's 2 Library of Babels and a Seismo Entangler. That's actually a real main house. That's 6 creatures and And the Hex Beyond's always around.
Yeah, and three artifacts. What does Size 1 Tangler do? Do you
that
know
is, off the top of that your is head? Your action your opponent can't reap with a particular house.
Oh.
It's okay. Soft control. And it's an action that you get to use on your logo's turn. You know, it's definitely a main house card, or at least a support card. I don't mind it. I don't love it. But the Shadow's House. Is the Shadow's House pulling its weight? There's three wrist clocks, there's life for life, there's sophistry, there's whistling darts. Is that a racing house? Is there just a
possibly.
Burst house
I mean,
in there?
I didn't count enough pips to see it as a racing deck, but what I will say is there is enough hand manipulation to really make something work, and like if you're up against a deck that's kind of low on removal tools, or that just doesn't care to fight, you can actually build a pretty nice logo sword.
Yeah, that's kind of the argument I want to make for this deck is, you know, I might not have all of the pips, but if I pull this in sealed, and you know, a local seal where I only get one deck, then I have to figure out a way to play it. I want to try to just jam cards. I don't want to be holding a big Shadow's Hand for the Ronnie wrist clocks at seven. I'm just going to be playing cards, play him, life for life, get me some Amber, play some Logos guys, play some Brobnar guys, and roll.
Well, so the life for life I think is interesting too, because you have two very good life for life targets in Hexpion, who archives itself, and Gerargle if you put something gross under it. So like is where if you put like a Coward's End under Gerargle, that could be a thing.
That's silly.
Well, like here's the deal. So like let's say I put Coward's End under Gerargle. If you kill mine, it gets archived. But if I kill it, it just gets played.
Right? Yeah.
So like I could play it on my Shadow's turn to Coward's End you, and then play like my wrist locks or whatnot.
I want to I want to pick this deck back up. I want to look a. I need to. Before I pick this up, I need to see a better game plan out of the Brobnar house. I need to see a win condition
Brobnar. Yeah. Maybe we spot something on the second run through, because it looked bad the first time.
It still looks a little bad, but, you know, it's Kulf, Groggins, Groke, Brammo.
Four creatures?
No, Bingle. Five.
Who's
Kulf?
Oh, Kulf the Quiet. Okay. So you have really four and a half, because...
Bingle.
So Kulf, Groke, Groggins... and Brahmo, those are four real creatures. Bingle Bang Bang's a fake creature because it dies.
He's a removal tool.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get you War Chest value. And I think that, you know, I wish War Chest worked with Coward's End. It just doesn't. You have to have Loot Bodies, which isn't in this set.
Yeah, there's just a lot of potato Brobnar cards. I think maybe what you do is you use Logos to archive away your Brobnar cards, so that way they get out of the way. Because, like, the two extra Coward's End are bad. First Blood, if you're lucky, hits once. Right? End of the fray, not great when you don't have any action abilities.
Can First Blood hit your own guys?
I think it can.
I don't know. If it can, great with Coward's End. If it can't, then I'm sad. But just that aside, look at all the removal in this deck. The Coward's Ends, the Flamethrower, the Bouncing Death Quark. That's kind of cool with Jargoggle. The Life for Life, the Throwing Stars, the Long Fused Mines. There's a ton. Like, there's not a lot of big bodies in this deck. Lamindra, Gamgee, Wrist Clocks aren't going to actually be killing anything, but there's a ton of removal. I want to race with this deck.
Yeah, the more I see this deck, because Dusk Chronicles archives as well, I think I just want to archive every Brobnar card. Like, archive them all, and then just don't pick them up. Because they're... So many of these are just going to be bricks a very high percentage of the time.
So here's the question. The tricky one to use is the Researcher. You play him, and you get to choose the top card of your deck or the top card of your discard pile. Are you trying to, like, combo off of your own sloppy lab work and pick it back up into your archive? That's messy. I think you sloppy away the discard with the Brobnar cards, and then you discard a Brobnar card off of sloppy. Then you play the Researcher. You archive those cards.
Yeah, in general, when it comes to the Researcher, I try to just always go top card of the deck. And the reason for this is, like, I think of it as card draw. So unless the card in my discard is very strong, then I want that. But for the most part, I'd actually rather just take the top card of the deck. Because, like, AOA archives, because there's so much, you're oftentimes going to end up with mixed houses in your archives anyways. So you just wait until your archives get to, like, five or six, and then you're just randomly going to have three or four of them be of a house. And you, like, let's say you shove all the Brobnar ones in there. While this Brobnar house, I think, is really bad, if I have seven or eight Brobnar cards at a time, that's a fine turn.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be mad at that turn, even
unless three of them are Cowards End.
Well, it's like here, you play one Coward's End, you discard the other two, you play a Brahmo, a Grok, and a Groggins, and then you drop down the War Chest, and you discard First Blood, and you discard Into the Fray.
That's a big turn, no matter what way you slice it.
Yeah, it's like if you have eight of them, like it's really hard to have an eight-card hand of any house and it be bad.
And honestly, you know, on one final pass, I'm not mad at this Shadow's House. It's doing its job, right?
Yeah,
it's doing
the job
of Shadow's House.
I think it's fine.
I'm not too mad. I'm not as mad at the Logos House. It seems like a fun house to play. I just don't think the Brobner House is pulling its weight.
Yeah. Anyways, so that about gets our review here of this deck. This has been Bouncing Death Quark. If you want to get to know more about us, join our Discord. You can find our Discord link inside of both of our social medias. We are on Facebook and on Twitter at Death Quark for either one of them. Additionally, if you want to get some merch, you can find a link to our merch via our Discord. And then lastly, if you want to get more content from us, Kodamron does streaming on YouTube, and also we do coverage of bigger events as well, which can be found on YouTube as well. And that is via Kodamron's YouTube channel. So yeah, tell your friends about the show. I'll see you next time.
Thanks a bunch.